got here safely. So, a very good morning, in another sense rather than weather. And although we're now well past New Year's Day, let me wish you all a happy new year. This morning, we've reached chapter 4 in this mini-series through 1 Timothy. Much of this chapter is Paul encouraging Timothy to be discerning in what he takes on board as values for living as a Christian. He knows that he is going to be ministering to the church in Ephesus, where at least two people are leading the Christians there in the wrong direction through false teaching. The examples given are that they should not believe in marriage and that there are some foods which they should not eat. Both fairly strong examples of false teaching. Timothy's first task then is to call out those teachers and correct these false teachings and urge the Christians in Ephesus to live by God's words and not the words of any mere man or woman. Let's read the words of the chapter from verse 1 through to verse 6. But the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times some in the church will turn away from Christ and become eager followers of teachers with devil-inspired ideas. These teachers will tell lies with straight faces and do it so often that their consciences won't even bother them. They will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat meat, even though God gave these things to well-taught Christians to enjoy and be thankful for. For everything God made is good, and we may eat it gladly if we are thankful for it, and if we ask God to bless it, for it is made good by the word of God and prayer. If you explain this to others, you will be doing your duty as a worthy minister who is fed by faith and by the true teaching you have followed. We've talked this morning a lot about a godly life, and it made me think of the many godly men and women that I have known in my life, not least being my own mum and dad. Here at Bridge of Dawn, we have been privileged to share fellowship with men and women who are readily recognized as living a godly life. I won't name names because I will offend, but I am sure there are some names that have popped into your mind just as I said that. However, as in many fellowships of believers, we have also seen examples of some who have the appearance of being godly, but have shown by their actions that their lives are not based on God's words. When that happens, there are not only consequences for that person, but also for everybody else around them, because their actions then become a stumbling block for other people. So how then do we recognize false teaching, and how do we deal with it when we see it? Here are eight characteristics which may help us to identify a false teacher. I am not going to comment on the verse. It is up there for us to read. False teacher will say what people want to hear. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Secondly, they teach a doctrine other than Christ Jesus. And in 2 Peter 2, verses 1 to 3, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Thirdly, they are dishonest about their real intentions, for such people are false apostles. In Corinthians 11, 13, 15, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if Satan's servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Fourthly, they seek to divide congregations. In Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, it says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Fifth, they ignore the need for repentance. Lamentations 2, verse 14. The visions of your prophets were false and worthless. They did not expose your sin to ward off your captivity to Satan. The prophecies they gave you were false and misleading. Sixth, they gloss over any sins they or other church leaders commit. Ezekiel 22, verse 28 says, Her prophets whitewash those deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. They say, This is what the Sovereign Lord says, when the Lord has not spoken. Seven, they substitute their own words for God's word. In Jeremiah 14, verse 14, Then the Lord said to me, The prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them. They are prophesying to you false visions, divinations, idolatries, and the delusions of their own minds. Finally, eight, they do damage to church families. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. That's in Matthew 7, 15 and 16. So how are we to respond to false prophets? The Bible is very clear about what we are to do when dealing with a false prophet. And it comes down to keeping our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus, not letting anyone pull us away from what we know is the truth. Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 to 3 says, If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or a wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, and the prophet says, Let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you. In Deuteronomy 18, 21, 22, it says, You may say to yourselves, How can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. And in 1 John 4, 1 to 3, Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Let's have a look at the next section of the chapter. Let's read verses 7 to 13. Don't waste time arguing over foolish ideas and silly myths and legends. Spend your time and energy in the exercise of keeping spiritually fit. Bodily exercise is all right, But spiritual exercise is much more important and is a tonic for all you do. So exercise yourself spiritually and practice being a better Christian, because that will help you not only now in this life, but in the next life too. This is the truth, and everyone should accept it. We work hard and suffer much in order that people will believe it. For our hope is in the living God who died for all, and particularly for those who have accepted his salvation. Teach these things, and make sure everyone learns them well. Don't let anyone think little of you because you are young. Be their ideal. Let them follow the way you teach and live. Be a pattern for them in your love, your faith, and your clean thoughts. Until I get there, read and explain the scriptures to the church. Preach God's word. I guess you all know that I love playing sport, and through golfing and sailing and other things, I not only feel relaxed, but I maintain the amount of physical fitness that I already have. Paul, in these verses, is saying to Timothy that physical exercise is all right, but spiritual exercise is so much more important. But how do we exercise spiritually? Well, if Monday and Wednesday are my golf days, and Friday and sometimes Saturday are my sailing days, well, I guess that Tuesday and Sunday are my spiritual exercise days. Well, I guess they could well be, but that's not how it works out in practice. Because we need to exercise spiritually every day, not just on certain days throughout the week. Maybe you've heard the phrase, either use it or you'll lose it. Well, that is very true. And faith is like a muscle which needs exercise. If we don't exercise our faith regularly, then it becomes weaker, not stronger. Exercise stretches you. Obedience to the Holy Spirit's prompting will cause us to get out of our comfort zone sometimes, as Gordon was mentioning earlier. Stretching that spiritual muscle of faith. Another important factor in spiritual exercise is repetition. I've seen a few people make that mistake in a gymnasium. They see others lifting 20 kilos of weight, and as a beginner, they step in and try to do the same thing. Believe me, they will suffer for it the following day. Because it's not the amount of weight which is lifted, it's the repetitions of weight carrying that is the secret to building up that muscle. The discipline of repetition brings the benefit of building our faith muscle over a period of time till we are able to carry so much more faith in our lives. Our days need to contain time for prayer, for Bible reading, reviewing what we value and challenging ourselves to match up what we know is God's word to the things we do and say every day. Now that is real exercise. Believe me when I tell you that preparing a sermon is great, if challenging, spiritual exercise. How will we know if our spiritual exercise is working? Well, I believe that spiritual exercise results in a healthy faith. And I believe that a healthy faith produces fruit. We read in Galatians, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. If you see this happening in your life, all these things getting stronger, and others around you begin to notice the same thing, then your faith muscles are benefiting from spiritual exercise. Let's read the final few verses from verses 13 to the end. Verse 14. Be sure to use the abilities God has given you through his prophets when the elders of the church laid their hands on your head. Put these abilities to work. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone may notice your improvement and progress. Keep a close watch on all you do and think. Stay true to what is right, and God will bless you and use you to help others. Paul ends this chapter of his letter to Timothy by reminding him that God has given him a gift of some special ability or abilities, but he has to put those abilities to work. I believe there's a difference between a talent on the one hand and a spiritual gift of God on the other hand. Every human has, through a mixture of genes or perhaps exposure in their early life, to a special skill that they only have. Lewis Hamilton has the talent of being able to use hand and mind together to operate a complicated car and drive very fast along a narrowish track. Only 20 or so drivers currently display that talent. My grandfather had the talent of painting pictures, and I still have some on my wall. And my dad had the talent to sell things and to communicate well. You may know that my dad, Bert Haining, was heavily involved in producing a booklet for the church here called News and Views. I think John Cow still actually has some of those copies. But most importantly this morning, God has given every Christian a spiritual gift or ability through the Holy Spirit. These gifts, called charisms, are given to them on their conversion to believe in Jesus Christ. In the last verses of our chapter this morning, Timothy is urged to get involved in the many tasks of building God's church. He certainly had his work cut out in that early church in Ephesus. I often wonder what gift came in most useful to Timothy in those early days of his ministry. Have you discovered your spiritual gift? You know, these gifts or charisms from the Holy Spirit are used in both our personal lives, and they're also used in our church community living. Your gift may be in being able to speak to people in a natural and approachable way. It could be a gift of music. It could be in prayer. It could be in caring for those in our fellowship who need encouragement or a visit. Whatever it may be, we are to find that gift and build it up, keeping a close watch in our living to ensure that we are staying true to God's word. Satan loves nothing better than a Christian who forgets God's word and becomes proud of what they begin to think of their own achievements. Let me finish by repeating the words of verses 15 and 16. Put these abilities to work. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will notice your improvement and progress. Keep a close watch on all you do and think. Stay true to what is right, and God will bless you and use you to help others. Amen.
Thank you, Bill. So I just took a couple of things from that, actually. It's actually words that was in the text. And the first one was, live by God's words. And the second one was, everything God created is good. And I don't think we can put that any better. Just got a few notices now. David's going to come up and speak to us about Alpha.